الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. إخواني إن شاء الله, we want to just before beginning take a few minutes to contemplate and to consider some of the words from Khutbat al-Hajah that most of us, if not all of us, have memorized, or we've heard it so many times that we can identify it when we hear it and we can translate it as well. The part of Khutbat al-Hajah that we want to be considered and contemplated on is the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam when he used to say, وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our soul and from the evil results of our actions. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has created the nafs, and there are different types of nafs, and there's this one type of nafs that is amaratun bisu. It is the nafs that is ordered and is always following that which is evil. Evil whispers, evil inclinations. And since it is the nature of Bani Adam that all of them make mistakes and they make sins, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us here to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our anfus, the evil of our soul, and the evil results of the deeds that we put forth. The words that we say, the actions that we take, the things that we fall into. And in the fact that he used to say this in Khutbat al-Hajah all the time, and he chose out of all of the things that he could have mentioned, he could have put inside of Khutbat al-Hajah, seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from an-nisyan, from forgetfulness. He could have put inside of Khutbat al-Hajah to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from poverty. And a number of other things he could have mentioned, but he chose to mention this part, that he sought refuge in Allah, and he taught us to seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and from the evil result of our actions. Now, we're living in a time of fitna. There is fitna all over, and everyone is being affected by al-fitn in his life. And this is July the 19th, 1999, or July the 20th, 1999. And the fitna of today is greater than the fitna of yesterday. As the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِنْ عَامٍ إِلَّا وَالَّذِي قَبْلُهُ مَا مِنْ عَامٍ إِلَّا وَالَّذِي بَعْدُهُ شَرُّ مِنْهُ. There's not a year that comes except that the year that follows it is worse than the one that preceded it. So everyone is suffering from fitna in some shape, form, or fashion. There are those of us who are suffering from the fitna as it relates to our finances, and that some of us are in debt and we are under the qahar of the rijal. We're under the power of people. We hate to see them. We're running from them. We're stealing from this one to pay this one off. Some of us don't have enough money to pay the bills that we incur on a weekly basis or a monthly basis. So as a result of that, we're threatened with our electricity being cut off, with our cars being repossessed, with all kinds of problems financially. That's a fitna, no doubt, the fitna of the mind. And then we have the people who are suffering from fitnas in their married life. The wife is a fitna for the husband, and the husband is a fitna for the wife. To the point, as we've mentioned on so many occasions, where both of them or one of them is contemplating and thinking of ways to do physical and bodily harm to his partner. We're trying to decide, should we stay married or shouldn't we get a divorce? The wives are calling the police on the husband who get locked up and they have to pay $500 as a bond to get out of jail. Our wives are running away, going to other cities, getting away from the fitna of the husband. Just so many problems that are going on. We have the people who are suffering from the fitna that is in their health. People who have diseases, people who have problems with their mental health. Even to the point that this time you'll find that, as we mentioned before, one of the evil results of an ma'asi, one of the evil results of falling into sin, is that it will have an adverse effect and it will make a negative impact on your health. If a man is out partying and hanging out, he's drinking, he's getting high, how is he going to be in a position when he needs to call on his strength to have his strength answer the call? So many of us, we find that even if we get a good night's sleep, 8 hours, and you get up for Fajr, you'll find that still, in spite of getting a good night's sleep, you're still tired within yourself. And the Muslim, more than anyone, is in need of his strength. And when it's time to meet up with the enemies of Al-Islam, the Muslims during the past used to have the ability that one man would be able to deal. He was responsible to deal with 10 people. Because his strength was greater than the strength of the kuffar. The kuffar is spending their time being drowned in al-ma'asi, in sinning, where the Muslim is being occupied with ibadah, which gives him strength. No matter what the fitna is, ikhwan, that is facing us today, marital, financial, mental, physical, all of those fitnas pale in comparison because they are the fitnas of the dunya. Fitna of our children. Some of them are sick. Some of them are not listening. Some of them have gone outside of Islam. Some of them are shacking up and living with kuffar. All of those fitnas pale in comparison to the fitna of the deen. The fitna of the dunya is easy in comparison to the fitna of the deen. And what's the fitna of the deen? The fitna of the deen, ikhwan, is a person starts to doubt the truthfulness of a salafiyya. Whether or not the doubt of salafiyya is the haq. He starts to doubt whether or not al-Islam is the truth. He becomes weak as a result of the fitna. Shaitan comes to him, la'natullahi alayhi. He starts to make the miswas and whispers in his ear and his heart, and he starts to say, what is all this for? So the sister takes off her hijab, and the brother stops to practice Islam. And this is as the Messenger of Allah told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Umar radiallahu anhu was sitting with the companions, and he asked the companions, ayyukum yahfubu hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an al-fitn. He said to the companions, which of you has memorized and remembered the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which he talked about the fitn? Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, may Allah ta'ala be pleased with him and his father, he said that he was the one who memorized it. So he went on to say the hadith, or part of the hadith. He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, fitnatu rajul fi ahlihi wa malihi wa jarihi tukathiruha
الصلاة والصدقة والأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. Hudhayfa said, I heard the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fitna that affects a man in his family, or it affects a man in his money, the fitna of the family, the fitna of the money, the fitna that affects a man in his neighbor, he said, what expiates it, what is a kafara for it, what wipes it away, is that man making the salah, and that man making giving sadaqah, and that man ordering or enjoining the ma'roof, the right, and preventing the wrong. Umar went on to say, no, I'm not talking about that fitna. And he went on to explain the fitna that he was implying. The point here, ikhwan, is the fitna that we are talking about right now is the fitna of the dunya. And the fitna of the dunya can be compensated for by you just doing the amal as-salih. You just do the right deeds, righteous deeds. The fitna that a man receives in his family, his wife is tripping out, being disobedient, he can't sleep because of her, his life is in turmoil because of her, or vice versa, that fitna can be solved and expiated for by you making the salah, by you giving sadaqah, by you making hajj and umrah. The fitna of not having money, the fitna of all of these things of the dunya can be dealt with by just you being a Muslim. So it can be dealt with, but the fitna of the deen is greater. The fitna of the deen is greater. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in proving this point, in the hadith that's been collected by the Imam al-Tirmidhi, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that he heard the Messenger of Allah say, alayhi salatu wasalam, تَكُونُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ السَّاعَةِ فِتْنٌ كَقِطْعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلَمِ يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ فِيهَا مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا يَبِيعُ أَحَدَهُمْ دِينَهُ بِأَرْضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. This is the fitna of the deen. Abu Huraira said that he heard the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's going to come a time that's close to the hour being established in which the fitna is going to be like a dark night. This is the nature of the fitna. You can't distinguish it. It's going to be like a dark night. The affairs are not going to be clear. The haq is not going to be distinct from the batil for the majority of the people. He said there's going to come a fitna, or the fitna, in which it's going to be like a dark night. A man will wake up in the morning as a believer, but by the end of the day when he goes to sleep, he's going to go to sleep as a kafir. Or a man is going to go to sleep as a believer, and when he wakes up, he's going to wake up as a kafir. Something happens to him in the course of the day, and he irtadda an al-Islam, he renegades and he apostates, because he loses something that's dear to him. Something happens to him from the fitna. He goes to sleep at night and he makes the dua and he makes the wudu and he makes salat al-wasr, and in his dream he sees something. He wakes up and he denounces al-Islam. So the fitna of the deen, the person runs the risk of going outside of the fold of al-Islam. Ikhwan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained to us in the Quran, in so many ayat, about an issue that we've spoken about on so many occasions, and that is the belief in the sixth pillar of al-Iman. And that is to believe in the divine decree, that the Muslim believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed things to happen to him. So similarly, as Muslims, Allah has decreed for us that we are going to be tried. We are going to have trials and tribulations. We're going to be faced with fitna in our lives. So the Muslim should never get caught up into the fitna. He should realize that it's a test and he has to work through it. He has to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and he has to work towards pleasing Allah Ta'ala in that fitna. As Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, and he explains to us, what is the wisdom behind giving us the fitna? He Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. وَلَقَدَ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Do the people think that they're going to be left alone by simply and merely saying, Amanna, we believe, I believe? Does a person think he's going to be left alone with the mere word that he says, I believe? And then that's it, everything is going to be cookie crunch for him, hunky dory for him, that's it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went on to say, verily we tried those people who went before you, so that Allah would know those who are truthful in that statement, Amanna, from those who are lying. Allah is going to try the people to see if you really have some iman. And this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of the communities that went before this community. Every single person is going to be tried once he embraces al-Islam. He comes to the age of recognizing the difference between right and wrong. He's going to be tried. And the wisdom behind that trial is to see if you believe. So in decreeing this trial and tribulation, you can rest assured, ikhwan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a religion that can help us out of these problems. And that's what we want to come here to talk about today. In light of the fitna that's taking place concerning the du'at of the da'wah to Salafiyah, the Salafi people, unfortunately, their ranks are beginning to split, and there's no reason for that. The only reason why people should take wrong positions in this issue is because they're not following the minhaj as-salafi. They're not following the Quran. They're not following the sunnah. They may be following personalities or the hawa and the intisar al-nafs. To have this thing about helping your nafs has a portion in making people take sides and take the wrong side. But we have a religion that has left for us a minhaj that has told the Muslim how to respond in the times of fitna, what to do in the time of fitna. And this is why, ikhwan, is imperative, and all of you have to remember this point, that we do not base our religion upon the rijal. We don't base our religion upon people. You are going to be in for a rude awakening one day, because you're going to come to find out that every single person has some skeletons in his closet, has some sins. Everyone. So if your Islam is predicated and you're practicing the Dawah to Salafiyah and al-Islam for Sheikh so-and-so, or for brother so-and-so, or sister so-and-so, wallahi, what's going to happen when you come to know that that person let you down? Your iman is going to be shattered, and it's going to be a fitna for you. So Allah Ta'ala, he said the same thing to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam. Afa'in qutila. Aishan ayah ya akhi. Kamal. Wa ma muhammadun illa rasul. Qad khalat min qablihi rasul. Afa'in mata aw qutilin qalabtum ala a'qabikum. Muhammad is only a messenger. There were messengers who went before him. If he dies, or he is killed, are you people going to return and go backwards on your heels now because Muhammad died or he was killed? When Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, who was the premier student of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullahi alayhi, was writing about a particular issue in which Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullahi alayhi, was wrong. Ibn Taymiyyah, his sheikh, who he said about him, I've never seen anyone like him, nor has he seen anyone like himself. When Ibn Qayyim was writing something about an issue, he wanted to bring to light that his sheikh, Ibn Taymiyyah, had another opinion, and the opinion of the sheikh, Ibn Taymiyyah, was wrong. So he said about Ibn Taymiyyah, his sheikh, who he loved a lot. He said, وشيخ الإسلام أحب إلينا والحق أحب إلينا أحب إلينا منه وهو أحق يتبع. He said, Ibn Taymiyyah is the Shaykh of Al-Islam. And he is our beloved, but the truth is more beloved to us. And the truth has more right to be followed. That's the religion of Al-Islam. So I can't emphasize this point enough, ikhwan. لا تكونوا كهؤلاء الناس الذين يقلدون الرجال يجعلون الرجال هم المعيار يميزون بين الحق والباطل بهم. Don't be like those people from those different jama'at and them different groups who measure the truth by men, by their teacher, by their imam, by their madhab or something like that. لا, don't be like that. Be of the people who measure men by the truth. Now that's a very important point. Don't measure the truth by men, but measure the men by the truth. Wherever you go in this dunya, that includes the shuyukh of al-Islam, and if it includes the real scholars of al-Islam, clearly it includes the imam of Masjid al-Istiqama and any other imam for that reason. So what is it that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has brought to show us what to do? Wallahi, this fitna that we're dealing with right now is similar to the fitna that took place with Muawiyah and Ali. Or better yet, Muawiyah or Ali ibn Abi Talib and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhuma. May Allah be pleased with both of them. In which there was a battle that took place between Ali and Muawiyah. And they call it the Battle of Siffin. And Siffin, ikhwan, is a place, and we're going to do a class on this fitna, inshallah, because one of the brothers, Abu Dawood Abdul Kareem, he asked to do a class on it. And he asked to do this class prior to this fitna that's taking place between some of the du'at of the Dawah al-Salafiyyah. Al-Safin was a place that's between al-Sham and al-Iraq, in which Ali and Muawiyah, their two armies, engaged each other in battle. Suffice it to say that Ali radiallahu anhu won the battle. But there are a lot of issues. Why did they fight? What was going on? We're going to discuss that in the class. What we want to pick from that is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where we can make a correlation between what happened between Ali and Muawiyah and what's happening now. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us an authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Bukhari on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. لا تقوم الساعة حتى تقتتل فئتان فيكون بينهما مقتلة عظيمة دعواهما واحدة. Listen to what the Messenger of Allah prophesied. And be clear, this is talking about Ali and Muawiyah. We have to be careful of being of those people who take the ayat in which Allah is talking about the kuffar and the munafiqeen, and we put them and apply them to the Muslims. Sometimes you can do that, sometimes you can't do that. Al-ibra bi'amum al-lawd wa laysa bi-khusus al-sabr. Sometimes you can do it, but sometimes you can't do it. From the characteristics of the people of deviance is that they take the ayat that have been revealed for and on the kuffar and they apply them on the Muslims for political reasons, for reasons of the nafs and the hawa. So we want to make that clear. This hadith is talking about what happened between Muawiyah and Ali radiallahu anhu. He said that the sign, the hour will not be established. Yawm al-Qiyamah will not take place until two great forces from my ummah meet each other and they start to fight each other. And there's going to be a great and tremendous slaughter between them. They're going to kill each other. He went on to say, and both of their dawah is the same. وَدَعْوَاهُمَا وَاحِدًا. Both of them are claiming the same thing. Both sides. What are they claiming? Both sides are claiming to be Muslim. Both sides are claiming to be on the haq. So this thing that happened with Muawiyah and Ali radiallahu anhuma, wallahi, it is as if it's happening today. Both sides are at odds with each other, and both of them are claiming the same thing. Both of them are claiming the Salafiyya. The haqq is with us. And the other one is an enemy to Islam. The other one is a cult. La ya akhi. Hadha ma yanbaghi. So now that people are calling every single day from all over the United States and Canada and England, what's going on? What should I do? And unfortunately, the people who get caught in the crossfire are the regular brothers who just want to be people who come to the masjid and they want to be pious people. So we want to, inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, take this time out to try to shed some light on this issue so that we can know what is our responsibility in this affair. This is my job. This is my mas'uliyah. Allah Ta'ala is going to ask me about this yawm al-qiyamah. And as Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, وَلَكِنْ لِيَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ أَمْرٍ كَانَ مَفْعُولًا لِيَهْلِكَ مَنْ حَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَةً وَيَحْيَ مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيِّنَةً. Allah Ta'ala said, but instead, so that Allah can judge in an affair that has been decreed, so that whoever is going to be destroyed is going to be destroyed after the bayyinah has been given. And whoever is going to live and be on the haqq is going to do so after the bayyinah has been made. So if people choose to get with a side that is oppressive, to take the oppressive position, to get involved, and you're not from the people who should be getting involved in this fitna, then you're going to do so, inshallah, after an attempt was made to give you some irshad and some tawjih, some instruction and direction. So what has al-Islam left for us? What does the Minhaj al-Salafi say for us to do at a time like this? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ikhwan, he has given us a lot of wasaya, or a lot of advice. The first advice that we want to share with you, what does the Muslim do in the time of the fitna, when he can't discern the haqq from the batil? Here we have a person who we love and we honor and we respect. Here's a person who has done a lot to establish the da'wah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission and by the tawfiq of Allah. And we see with our very eyes, and we are able to detect with our intellect the good that has come as a result of a brother's effort. So we love, we honor, respect the brother. But at the same time, some of the shuyukh that we also love, honor, and respect, and who we see as being the people of al-jarh wa ta'deel, and who we see as being people who have been endowed with knowledge and insight, people who know the maqasid and the ahdaf of the rijid, the ulama and the students of the ulama, they are the ones when they give Islamic verdict, they give fatwas. The fatwas are going to bring some benefit to the ibad and the bilad. They bring benefit to the people and where the people live at. The verdicts of the scholars, because their verdicts are coupled and accompanied by knowledge and insight, experience, deep knowledge, not surface knowledge, is going to clearly be a guiding light for the people. So on one hand, we have those people who respect talking negative about people we also respect. That's a fitna. What are we to do? The first thing that we want to mention is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is his command that we should take a sword that is made out of khashab or wood. The first thing that he told us to do, one of the main things that he told us to do, is to take a sword that is made out of wood. Wood, W-O-O-D, al-khashab. Al-Imam Ahmed, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, they brought a narration on that companion, Ahban, radiallahu anhu, who said that he heard the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا كَانَتَ الْفِتْنَةُ بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاتَّخِذْ سَيْفًا مِنْ خَشَبٍ. If there is a fitna that happens between the Muslims, he told Ahban, then take a sword that is made out of wood. إِذَا كَانَتَ الْفِتْنَةُ بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاتَّخِذْ سَيْفًا مِنْ خَشَبٍ. If a fitna happens between the believers, the Muslims, then you, Ahban, take a sword that is made out of wood. That hadith, Ikhwan, has been explained to us in fine details during the time of the Battle of Siffin with Ali radiallahu anhu, and we alluded to this already. When the fitna was taking place that I just told you about between Ali and Muawiyah, Ali radiallahu anhu, he came to this companion whose name is Ahban, who the Prophet said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prior to the fitna happening, if there's a fitna between the Muslims, then you take a sword out of wood. So the Messenger of Allah died after telling them that advice, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But his sunnah lived, his words remained until today we're talking about his words. So Ali came to Ahban to seek his assistance in the war against Muawiyah. So the daughter of Ahban, this companion, whose name was Udaysa bint Ahban radiallahu anhuma, قالت لما جاء علي بن أبي طالب هاهنا البصرة دخل على أبي فقال يا أبا مسلم ألا تعينني على هؤلاء القوم؟ قال بلى. قال فدعا جارية له فقال يا جارية أخرجي سيفي. قال فأخرجت له فسلمه قدر شبر فإذا هو خشب. فقال إن خليلي وابن عمك صلى الله عليه وسلم أهدى إلي إذا كانت الفتنة بين المسلمين فأتخذ سيفا من خشب فإن شئت خرجت معك. قال علي رضي الله عنه لا حاجة لي فيك ولا في سيفك. الله أكبر. Ali came to Ahban. He said to him, يا أبو مسلم. Ahban's kunya was Abu Muslim. الله أكبر. يا أبا مسلم, won't you come and help me against these people? Won't you come and help me and fight these people who have made this uprising and they're fighting me? He said, of course, I'll help you. So he called out to one of his young girls. He said to her, oh young girl, bring me my sword. So she brought him his sword. At that time, he took out the sword from the sheath, and he only took out a hand span. Lo and behold, his sword was made out of wood. He said, this is my sword. And my friend, my Khalili, and the nephew of your uncle, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told me, if the fitna falls between the Muslims, to take a sword out of wood. So if you want, I'll go out and I'll fight with you. Ali radiallahu anhu said, I don't need any help from you or your sword. A wooden sword ain't gonna help me. But you see the position of Ahban radiallahu anhu. He was from the people who Allah Ta'ala afamahu min al-fitn. There were certain companions who were saved from the fitna. They didn't fight, nor did they participate. Ahban, Usama ibn Zayd, Muhammad ibn Maslama, Anas ibn Malik, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Hudayth ibn Yaman. Those companions were saved from the fitna. And what saved them? Knowledge. In each and every case. Knowledge is what saved them. So, we say to the people, during the time of the fitna, Ikhwan, get for yourself a sword that is made out of wood. Because if your sword is made out of wood, you're not going to be in a position to be used. The people who are participating in the fitna, when they see that your sword is made out of wood, they're not going to find any use for you. But if they see that you have a sword that is glimmering and it's sharp and there's some benefit, they're going to insist that you're with them in their saf. The next wasiya that we want to share from the wasiya of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we are a people who don't want to contradict ourselves. We encourage and we insist that Muslims arm themselves and Muslims take advantage of the law and they learn martial arts or whatever form you want to learn to protect yourself so that you don't become a victim one day. So in these places like this, Florida, Alabama, Atlanta, they have liberal laws concerning citizens protecting themselves. So we say, protect yourself and arm yourself. But don't use that thing in the time of the fitna. So what do you do in the time of the fitna? The second nasiha of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is, you should break the weapon that you have. You should break the weapon that you have. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi brought in his Sunan, as well as Al-Imam al-Bayhaqi in his book Shu'b al-Iman, on the authority of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, this advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, when he said, أَكْثِرُوا فِيهَا يعني في الفتنة أَكْثِرُوا فِيهَا قَسِيَّكُمْ وَاقْتَعُوا فِيهَا أَوْتَارَكُمْ وَالْزَمُوا فِيهَا أَجْوَافَ بُيُوتِكُمْ وَكُونُوا فِيهَا كَالْخَيِّرْ لِبْنَي آدَمْ. The Prophet advised us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to break your bows in the fitna. The bow or the arrow. Break the arrow in the fitna. And break the bow in the fitna, the wood of the bow. And break the string, cut it, sever it. And stay inside of your home. And be like the son of Adam who was killed. Don't be the one who did the killing. If you have to participate, be the son of Adam who was killed, who was oppressed. But don't be the oppressor. The people, they'll say now, okay, we're living in the time of the fitna, and I hear this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So normally what I do is, I always keep a bullet in the chamber, and I have 10 in the magazine. But during the time of the fitna, I'm going to take the bullet out of the chamber, so now I'm going to have to cock it, which gives me more time to think about it before I do anything. Now this hadith is not talking about that warped understanding. In the time of the fitna, the Muslim who doesn't have the maturity and he's not responsible enough to walk around with a weapon, he shouldn't have a weapon at his disposal at all. For neither side, it's the last thing that should be on the mind of anyone. Walking around with a weapon during the time of the fitna, and you're one of the people who is an active participant in the fitna. Because if you have it, you'll use it. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam informed us to remain in our homes after we break off the weapon, or we take the weapon out of the khashab, which is a beautiful point here, and that is, in him telling the man, ahban, to take a weapon out of the khashab, it goes to show how al-Islam goes with the living and the life of the people, because he is not saying to you, disarm yourself. You still have to protect yourself from wild animals, from kuffar, people who are trying to do something to you. You still have a weapon. So that's one of the clear proofs and manifestations of how al-Islam yatamasha. It goes along with the life of the people. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, salamatu rajul fil fitnati an yalzama baytahu. Salamatu rajul fil fitnati and yalzama baytahu. A man, his salama, his being in a good state, a state of peace, tranquility, good ease, in the times of fitna, is for him to stay in his house. Don't participate in what the people are doing. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave some encouragement and advice to some of his companions to busy themselves with their ibil and their ghanam and the land that they were cultivating. So if a man has an occupation and he sees that the people are involved and preoccupied in the fitna, based on this hadith, the person should increase his involvement in his occupation, making money for himself, occupying himself in his occupation, not for the sake of the money or the occupation, but to stay away from the fitna, to stay clear of the fitna. They say what? Idle time is the workshop of the devil. If you have time to sit around, you're going to fall into the snares and the traps of Iblis. So he told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam Muslim, Abu Dawood and others, on the authority of Abu Bakr, not Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, but Abu Bakr, Bakr with a tamar buta. He said, إِنَّهَا سَتَكُونُ فِتَنْ أَلَا ثُمَّ تَكُونُ فِتَنْ الْقَائِدُ فِيهَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْمَاشِي فِيهَا وَالْمَاشِي فِيهَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ السَّاعِي إِلَيْهَا أَلَا فَإِذَا نَزَلَتْ أَوْ وَقَعَتْ فَمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ إِبِلْ فَلْيَلْحَقْ بِإِبْلِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ لَهُ غَنَمْ فَلْيَلْحَقْ بِغَنَمِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ لَهُ أَرْضٌ فَلْيَلْحَقْ بِأَرْضِهِ فقال الرجل يا رسول الله أرأيت إن لم تكن لي إبل ولا غنم ولا أرض قال صلى الله عليه وسلم له يعمد إلى سيفه فيدق على حده بحذر ثم لينجى إن استطاع النجاء اللهم هل بلغت اللهم هل بلغت اللهم هل بلغت قال فقال الرجل يا رسول الله أرأيت إن أكرت حتى ينطلق بي إلى أحد الصفين أو إحدى الفئتين فضربني الرجل بسيفه أو يجيء سهم فيقتلني قال صلى الله عليه وسلم يبوء بإثمه وإثمك فيكون من أصحاب النار. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, verily, there is some fitna that is going to come. And then there will be some more fitna. The one who is sitting is better than the one who is walking. And the one who is walking is better than the one who is running. And if this fitna was to happen, whoever has camels, then let him go and let him occupy himself with his camels. And whoever has sheep, let him go and occupy himself with his sheep. And whoever has some land, let him go and occupy his time with the land. So a man say, Ya Rasulullah, what if I don't have any camels? And I don't have any sheep, nor do I have any land. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then let him go to his sword. And let him make the sword dull by knocking it on a rock. And then let him be successful if he could. And then he said, oh Allah, have I not relayed the message? And he said it three times. And then after that, another man said to him, oh Messenger of Allah, what if I am forced to participate? And I'm forced to take one of the two sides. And a man comes and he hits me with a sword. Or someone shoots an arrow and it kills me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you are forced and that happens, he said, then the person who does that, he will get his sin and your sin, and it will be from the people of the hellfire. So here in this hadith, ikhwan, it's clear that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us some prophetic instruction and advice. And that is for each and every person at the time of the waqoor, of the fitna, when the fitna starts, and the people are preoccupied and immersed in the fitna, that he should make himself occupied with his business, that he should make himself occupied with the occupation that he's given to. And if he doesn't have an occupation, and people come and force him to get involved, and someone hits him with the sword because he lives in such and such a city, or he's a good friend with such and such a person and he won't come out against him, and as a result of that, the people shoot their arrows at him and they make statements against him, Don't worry about it, Ya Abdullah. Be patient. Because the person who does that, يَبُوءُ بِإِثْمِهِ وَإِثْمَكْ وَيَكُونَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. He's going to take his evil and your evil, your sin. And that's what Adam's son who was killed said to his brother who killed him. And if you kill me, I'm not going to stretch my hands out to kill you, but you're going to take my ism and your ism. From the prophetic advice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Minhaj al-Salafi in dealing with the times of the fitna, and this one is extremely important, that is for a man to increase his ibadah at the time of the fitna. For the man to increase his ibadah. And Imam Muslim and al-Tirmidhi and other than them have brought the hadith from the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mu'aqqil ibn Yasar radiyallahu anhu, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عِبَادَةٌ فِي الْهَرَجِ وَالْفِتْنَةِ كَهِجْرَةٍ إِلَيَّ. وَفِي الْرِوَايَةِ الْعِبَادَةٌ فِي الْهَرَجِ كَهِجْرَةٍ إِلَيَّ. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, doing worship in the time of al-haraj and al-fitna is like making hijrah to me. It's like a person living in Mecca and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Medina. So there's some fitna going on. So he leaves Mecca. And it's like the person who was in Mecca. And he leaves Mecca just to make the hijrah. And he goes to Medina in order to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's a tremendous reward. For a man to forsake his place of residence, his family, for al-Islam, he gets a lot of reward. Similarly, now a person can get the reward of making hijrah to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or something similar to it today. How? During the time of fitna, all he has to do is increase his ibadah. And I'm telling you brothers right here, this is an important point and a very good opportunity for all of you. There may be a particular person who you admire the knowledge that he has. A student of knowledge from amongst us. Wherever he may be. You say, here's a person who is similar to me, or here's a person who Allah has blessed. He has some information. I've admired him. And in some cases, unfortunately, we even have envy and jealousy. In the negative way. But inshallah, if you have it in a positive way, it's okay. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La hasada illa fitnatain. You can't be jealous of a person except in two circumstances. رَجُلٌ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ مَالٍ فَسَلَّطَهُ عَلَى هَلَكَتِهِ. A man who Allah has given money, and that man spends the money the right way on his family and the people who are supposed to get it. So a person says, Wallahi, if I had money, I'll do just like him. Yeah, I wish I had money like him. So you're jealous in the right way. So that's a person you can have envy for. And then the other one he said, رَجُلٌ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْحِكْمَةِ فَهُوَ يَعْمَلُ بِهَا وَيُعَلِّمُهَا النَّاسِ. And the man that Allah has given wisdom, and wisdom here means knowledge. Knowledge of the deen. So he acts upon it and he teaches the people. So a person sits there and he says, SubhanAllah, yeah, I wish that I was like that. And they call this ghibsa. This is what this type of hasad is. Ghibsa. Ghibsa is when you say, I wish I had what that person had without wishing that it went away from him. Al-hasad is when you say, I wish I had what he had, and he loses what he had. That's haram. But the ghibta is you just wish you had what he had. So, there may be a person who you're looking at and you say, I admire this brother. I have ghibta or the proper envy of this brother. But what happens is, if that brother is preoccupied with the fitna, wallahi, it's a golden opportunity for you to surpass him. Because people get preoccupied in the fitna and with the fitna, they don't study. They become obsessed with destroying each other or destroying their opponent. So he's spending the bulk of his time in the fitna while you are increasing your ibadah, memorizing the Quran, memorizing the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reading this book, reading that book, getting closer to Allah with knowledge and other forms of ibadah.
Whereas that person who's a student of knowledge, who you have some envy of, because Allah allowed him to go study somewhere, he's hurman. He's hurman. He can't take the test. He's too preoccupied with following up the zillat of the people, making the tatabbu of the zillat of the people, following it up. When we went to Medina, ikhwan, we went to Medina and we weren't Salafi. Show me which of us, as soon as he became a Muslim, he was Salafi. We became Salafi just like you became Salafi. From the dawah of the Salafi youth. When we went to Medina, there were some Salafi brothers there who didn't have any concept, they didn't have a clue about how to give dawah. So what they were doing was, they were policing the aqidah of the people. They would play basketball with you, or they couldn't play. They would be on the sideline to listen to what you're saying, policing what you believe. And you know, when you're a new Muslim, you say words that you shouldn't say about different people, describing people of different colors. Like calling Caucasians the C word. So they were policing the people's aqidah. So what happened, ikhwan? While they were worrying about people's aqidah and what people were thinking and reporting them back to the responsible people, they weren't studying. After 2 years, I found myself sitting in front of them in the class. After the next year, some of them are getting their scholarships taken away and they're failing, until finally not a single one of them graduated from the language program. So similarly, the man today becomes preoccupied with policing what people are believing and what people are upon, and it becomes an obsession that he becomes hurman. Hurman from the barakah, hurman from the rahmah, hurman from the sakina, hurman from the muhabbat al-nas, hurman from the darafa, the hurman from the fa'idah in his talab. He can't take the test. So this is the chance for all of you now to increase your ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe, just maybe, you begin to pass those people who you have this hasad, which is ghibta for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. From the wasaya of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, is that he has encouraged us in order, all of us, to protect our tongues during the time of the fitna. Al-Imam Ahmed and Abu Dawood and Al-Hakim rahimahumullahu ta'ala and other than them have brought the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, who said, kunna jalusan hawla rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idh dhakal al-fitna faqala idha ra'ayta al-nas qad manijat uhuduhum wa khaffat amanatuhum wa kanu hakadha wa shabbaka bayna anamiluh فَلْزَمْ بَيْتِكَ وَمْلِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانِكَ وَخُذْ مَا تَعْرِفْ وَدَعْ مَا تُنْكِرْ وَعَلَيْكَ بِخَاصَةِ أَمْرِ نَفْسِكَ وَدَعْ عَنْكَ أَمْرَ الْعَامَّةِ. He says sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, if the time comes and you see the people and they're not taking care of their contracts and they're making light the issue of the amanat, the amana or the trust, and they were like this, all mixed up, meaning the fears were confused. He says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's talking about the time of the fitna, he advised them, stay in your home and hold on to your tongue and take only that which you know and leave that which you don't know, and busy yourself with your own personal affairs and leave alone the affairs of the people. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ordering us here with multiple issues. The one that we're talking about, and that is for people to hold their tongue. Most of us are not in a position to do anything about solving the problem of the fitna. You can't talk, and you're not going to talk to any of the players in the fitna. So it doesn't make any sense to allow your tongue to rattle off anything, yea or nay, for or against, this way or that way. What did you hear? Well, what did you hear? And then people just add on to the confusion with their kalam. He told us in this issue, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the time of the fitna, busy yourself with your own personal affairs. Don't go after the fitna. If you don't know about the details, don't go after trying to find out what are the details, what happened. And leave alone the affairs of the other people. In another hadith, he showed us what was from the most important affairs that we should be concerning ourselves with, meaning our personal affairs. The companion Uqbah ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, as Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi has narrated, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, أَمْلِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكَ وَلِيَسْعَكَ بَيْتُكَ وَبْكِ عَلَى خَتِيَتِكَ. The Prophet told him, alayhi salatu wasalam, hold your tongue and let your house be enough for you. وَبْكِ عَلَى خَتِيَتِكَ, and cry as a result of your own sin. Cry as a result of the fitna that you're going through in your own confused life. In your life, where you do not taste the sweetness of Iman anymore. Some of us, ikhwan, and this is a fact, this is a fact. Some of us do not look forward to going home because of the fitna that awaits us at home. Some of the decisions that we have made in our lives are coming back to haunt us on a daily basis. This is the condition of the majority of the people. So what does it look like for a person who this is his condition to start blabbering about what Fulan and Alan did and said and what happened today? Yahi, hold your tongue, let your house be enough for you, and cry because of your own sad existence. Make your situation better. A man, his wife leaves the house. She leaves the house and she goes to another city. And when she's in another city, she's not practicing Islam. We don't know what's going on with her. We don't know what's happening to our wife, to our sister. You're the last person, ya akhi, ala wajh al-ard, on the face of the earth, to be talking about fulan qal, wa fulan duriba, wa fulan... That doesn't make any sense, ya. Now if a man can stand up and he can look in the mirror while he's making wudu and he can say, I am without sin. And there's a different issue. But no one is in a position to do that. All of us, ikhwan, can cry as a result of our own condition. So the last nasiha that we want to give to you, ikhwan, is this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, which is similar to the hadith that we just mentioned, in which he told us, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, taqbilu ala khasatikum wa'aridu ala aw an amatikum. Turn towards the khasatikum and turn away from the amatikum. This could be understood like this hadith just said, your own affairs, and it can be understood to mean too, turn to the special people from amongst you. Who do you think the special people from amongst you are here? Anybody want to try? من هم خاصتكم? The ulama of al-Islam. Turn to the scholars of the religion and turn away from the Tom, Dicks, and Harrys. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry got something to say. Turn away from them people. Turn to the ulama and get direction from the ulama. We ask the ulama, what's the haq concerning this issue? What's the haq concerning that issue? If we are behind the scholars of this religion, ikhwan, we're going to be safe. But if we're behind our own ijtihad, if we start to claim the ulama don't know what's going on, and we know what's going on, they don't understand Islam, and we know Islam, wallahi, we're in trouble. We're on the verge of destroying ourselves. They're the ones who are most qualified to give the fatawa and the verdict. Because the deep inner knowledge and understanding that Allah Ta'ala has given them, as He described them in the Qur'an, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِكُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدَ رَبِّنَا. Those people who are endowed with knowledge, الرَّاسِخُونَ, they are endowed with knowledge, the رُبَّانِيُونَ. They say we believe in it, all of it is from our Lord. So that's what we wanted to present. Concerning the issue of the fitna, is that easy? If everyone would just do that last hadith, hold your tongue, stay in your own home,
and cry for your own sin. Now, there are some people who just have to get involved because it's the nature of their response, their job titles, and it's part of their responsibility. Those people, you make dua for them, you say alhamdulillah, you're not from those people. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring the people back to their rushd, all of the people. We want to see khair for the Salafis, for the ummah in general, but specifically for the people who are trying to practice the Quran and the Sunnah. And one of the things that those enemies of Al-Islam in the past, they recognized something. And that is, the Jews of Medina recognized that they weren't in a position to ever extinguish the light of Al-Islam. They couldn't beat the Muslims because the Muslims were righteous people. And the Jews were evil people, irreligious people. So they knew, if we can get the Muslims to start to fight each other, and we start to change what they believe from within, they're going to become weak, and thus they'll destroy their own self. So there are people who we have dealt with in the past. The people who follow WD, the people who follow Imam Jamil al-Amin with the Bay'ah issue, people who are Sufis, people like Ikhwan Muslimin, all kind of people we have dealt with over the years. Wallahi, a lot of those types of people are happy at what's happening now because they see that the dawah is self-destructing if the people continue to be irresponsible. The people continue to be the people of the dawah if we continue to be people who are not going to step up to the plate and be responsible for our behavior. Wallahi, the dawah is going to self-destruct. So we thank Allah Ta'ala for placing us here. We have our own challenges, our own situation, and we don't have to deal with a lot of that. And we just wanted to let you brothers know how we expect you to deal with this. And we ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to accept it from us and from you, and to save us all from the fitin, ma zahara minha wa ma batana. If you guys have any questions, inshallah, you can ask your question. Got any questions? Hal min su'an? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نعم يا أخي تفضل يا The brother asked about the Usuli principle, which was mentioned in relationship to taking the ayat that Allah Ta'ala revealed, and he meant the kuffar by those ayat, and people use them to make them applicable to the Muslims. And we explained that the reason why they do that is for political reasons, for the hawa and the nafs. If a man is given to the aqidah of the Khawarij, for an example, making takfir on people, he'll take the ayat that were revealed on Bani Israel. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Whoever doesn't reveal by what Allah, whoever doesn't judge by what Allah revealed, then they are the kuffar, then they are the oppressors, then they are the fasiqun, the evil people. Those ayat were revealed for the Jews. Now a person takes that ayah and he says, you didn't reveal, judge by what Allah revealed, so you outside of Islam, you're kafir. They're saying that you can't use that ayah like that, because the ayah was revealed for a specific reason, for specific people, even though it can apply to that Muslim in that he is committing an act of disbelief, not to judge by what Allah revealed, but he doesn't go outside of Al-Islam like Allah put outside of Al-Islam the Jews. So he's asking about that principle. When is this thing applicable? When is the statement, when can we apply this statement? Al-love, al-ibra bi amum al-love wa laysa bi khusus al-sabab. We can apply this statement when the ayat or the hadith is without any quyud. Any ayat, any hadith that comes to us without any takhsis and any taqyid, The benefit is general, no matter what the ayat is. But there's a certain had there where you have to stop at, like in the example that we just gave. This issue, this ayat, whoever doesn't judge by what Allah revealed, this is an action of kufr. So it applies to the Muslim even if he did it. But it doesn't take him outside of Islam. So he has to stop at a certain point. He can't go all the way with that ayat. That's one thing. Now if there's some takhfif or some qiyud, then it's different. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been informed that certain things are for certain people and that's it. Like this issue with the dog. He said that what breaks the salah is three things. The himar and the kalb al-aswad and the mar'a. They asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah wa ma ba'al al-kalb al-aswad. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam huwa shaytan. They said, why does the black dog break the salah? What's wrong with him? He said he's a shaytan. So that's a general statement. No one can come in now and say, no, he's talking about the dogs of Medina. He's talking about the dogs of yesterday. He's talking about, you can't say that unless you have some proof. Like we heard recently that a sheikh said that you can eat khinzir now, pig now, swine now, because the swine that was haram was the swine of Medina only, because it was filth. But the swine of today has been given all of this feed and this healthful stuff that now you can eat it because it's good. No, this is going overboard. So the way that you know you can use that the ibra is with the amum of the love and not the khusus of the sabab is when there's not a takhfif or a mukhassis or a something that's making the taqeed of that particular issue. And I can give you a book on that, akhi, kamal, that will further elaborate on this particular point by itself, inshallah. Now, wallahi la adri an ahban. He asked about Abu Bakr and Ahban. Was Ahban a Yahudi? And then he accepted Islam. And Abu Bakr, who is he? I can give you the tarjama of both of them, inshallah, after the class. Who was this one and who was that one? But we shouldn't mix up Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Abu Bakr with a ta marbuta. Any more questions, ikhwan? Now go ahead. Hold on to. If the scholar is involved in the fitna himself, the scholar, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aghnana anhu. There are other ulama who are not involved in the fitna. So we turn away from that scholar and let him be involved in that fitna until he gets his situation together. And then we go to the ulama who are not involved. But concerning this particular fitna here that is taking place, okay, these are not the scholars who are involved in terms of what remains with us right now in America. No, not the scholars. So let no one think, okay, because Abu Usama is involved in the fitna, he's a scholar. That no, akhi, the scholars that we're talking about are the real scholars, the real meaning of the word, the ulama. And not the da'iyah, not the talib al-ilm. No, we're talking about the real scholar and the student. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. Subhanallah. Naam, ya akhi. Tafadhal. Now, the wooden sword is, first of all, we saw how Ahban took the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam literally. He took his statement literally. And he made a sword out of wood, which is a strong proof of the madhab, al-Zahiri madhab, of Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri, who used to feel that we have to take all of the statements of the Quran and the Sunnah literally. And this is one of the proofs that given, the application of Ahban. So, he did that to follow what the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we can understand it to mean don't be involved in the fitna. Don't have a weapon that can harm people, that can harm the Muslims. Because even if you took a wooden sword, you can still harm someone with the sword. We're involved in the fitting and the man goes to the masjid with a wooden sword. When the voices start to get raised and the tempest starts to flay, he takes out a wooden sword and he hits someone over there and he cracks his skull with a wooden sword. And he says, look, I practiced the sunnah. Ya akhi, that is not the sunnah. Now, I understand what you're saying now. Does it mean with knowledge? As I said, all of those companions who were saved, and we're going to deal with this in detail, how the companion was about to go out in the battle of Siffin. He was going to answer the call of our mother Aisha when she was going out to war. And she was going to be against Ali, radiallahu anhu, as Zubair and Talha and Aisha. They were going to go to fight Ali. There was a companion who was about to go out with her to participate on her side. And then he remembered the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: "La yuflihu al-qawm, wallu amruhum al-nisa." A people were not al-mar'a. He said, I remember the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "A people will not be successful who put a woman over their affairs." So the knowledge of that hadith protected me, and I decided not to go based upon that knowledge. So the knowledge is what's going to protect the people during the time of the fitna, having knowledge. The people who don't have knowledge, if you don't have knowledge, what are you going to base and judge your actions on? Your emotions. Well, he talked tougher than him, and he got more heart than him. And he inspired me more. And he agitated me. He touched me in this way. And based upon those frivolous issues, people take sides. One brother called me and he said to me about this issue, look, Akhi, I'm going down with the boat and I don't care. Ya Sheikh, what kind of statement is that? You're going down with the boat and you don't care? We're the Jama'at. We don't care who's against us. Come on, Ya Akhi. This is not how we're supposed to do this thing. So we're trying to keep the people connected, keep the people united together on the haq, inshaAllah, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can continue to bless our efforts and strength, inshaAllah. We have more abilities and resources than we do being divided amongst ourselves. And that's not the goal and the objective, to have numbers. The goal and the objective is to be on the haq, no matter who's with you and who's against you. But it doesn't negate the fact that we have a desire to see good for everyone. And it should be the case. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.